is one of those places, and there's so many ways that you can support. So check them out online. That's www.kboo.fm. Support. Don't just be a listener. Be an active participant. Until next month, this is Taria Autry, signing off for Poetic License.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Midway Festival of Nations on Sunday, September 20th from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Division Street Shopping Center located at 122nd and Southeast Division. The Festival of Nations is a family-friendly free event in the Midway District. They are celebrating their very diverse community with a variety of music, clowns, face painting, local vendors, service organizations, and other surprises. The Taste of the Nations is a special food area where local families will prepare traditional food, and it will be available for purchase and samples. Again, that's the Midway Festival of Nations on Sunday, September 20th, from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Division Street Shopping Center. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.
Someone has to start this. Everyone else is afraid. You can speak up. You don't have to whisper.
Listen to me.
Why don't you speak up?
Please come.
I have my reasons. You don't want to be implicated with this show.
Stop whispering! Speak your lines clearly!
You will do what you're told or else.
Someone really needs to get this show begun.
So far, it's just been a dead air of whispering. Unless they have their radios turned up loud.
Or their computer speakers if listening online.
They'll just think it's dead air. They'll feel this uneasy presence of whispers not quite understood.
Voices unwilling to commit to the horrors that will soon befall you on the current horrific broadcast. Ubu.
Someone needs to say that dreaded word.
Ubu.
Someone needs to speak up or listeners will think it's dead air. They won't know the name of the show. Worst of all, they'll tune to another station.
You're not doing anything.
As if they won't anyways when they hear the dreaded words, Ubu Hour. No one wants to begin the show. We can't begin the show until someone begins it. Someone needs to speak up. Anyone! Otherwise, we'll degenerate into an hour of whispering voices!
Why don't you go first if you think it's so bad?
Once it's begun, it'll be easier. You know how it is.
I need your help, Doc.
But once it has started, then it must continue. And that is where it gets worse and worse and worse.
Hello?
Once it has started, there's no going back. The listener becomes trapped in the sleaze and the lurid thrills.
Sex and violence with no remorse, no morals, betrayal and lies, dark twists and nightmare staccato.
Yes. Dr. Glatnoid will see you in a moment.
The further you go in, the more you become implicated. And then you'll be whispering too.
You won't want to talk about it. You don't want anyone to know you listen to it. The images will be burned and branded in your mind.
That's right. But can you blame us? The commercial stations do it 24/7.
Branding the cattle. Buy here. Vote for me. If we are to defeat the corporate brainwash, we need to supplement with something stronger, more jarring.
Now we shall resume with the show in progress. What is the name of the show?
You very well know the name of the show.
Why don't you give the name of the show?
What kind of girl do you need, Doc?
Someone has to give the name of the show. No one wants to hear an hour of whispering. That would be annoying.
Just this much is annoying. Will someone stop this? Will someone please announce the name of the show so that we can get on with it?
I did once. It's someone else's turn. And you blabbed about it to everyone else. It's your fault no one else wants to do it.
This will be a very long hour if no one is willing to speak up.
How is he?
Why don't you speak up if it's so important?
I will not incriminate myself in this endeavor.
It's like,
Someone has to do it! I will not do it again!
What are you doing?
Nothing.
Psst! What's going on in the studio? Has the show started yet?
No! No one will give the name of the show!
Someone needs to get things underway. All this whispering, the listeners will think it's dead air.
We tried to tell them no one wants to give the name of the show.
No one wants to take the blame for beginning the program.
That's a problem. We need to get the show started. We've already wasted too much time on this stupidity.
Why don't you talk to them?
Fine. Can you people hear me?
Yes.
Okay, someone needs to start the show. Someone needs to tell the listener what they're listening to.
No, we refuse to do it. Why don't you do it?
You people need to speak up. This is radio. All we have is our voices. Our voices are our only tools.
We will not do it.
You can't make us do it.
You'll have to do it yourself if you want it done.
Speak up, I say. We need to ID the show. We need to get things started here.
See what I told you? No one wants to speak up.
They're hopeless. What are we going to do?
Why won't anyone get the show started?
They don't want to be blamed for it.
They don't even want to be associated with it.
Why are they here if they don't like this show?
Community service?
They thought this was like one of the other radio theater programs?
We need to do something!
Then why don't one of you start the show?
Me?
Can it be that difficult? Thank you for listening, name of the show.
That's not our job.
One of them is supposed to do it, not us.
And if they refuse, then what? We keep up this crap for the entire hour?
We can't help it if they won't behave.
It's absolutely ridiculous. The voice actors we have to put up with.
Fuck it. This has gone on long enough. I'll do it if no one else can. Listeners out there, you are tuned to the Ubu Hour Radio Theater. Stay tuned for exciting audio drama, or whatever.
Story of a roadside renegade who go wherever you wanted and as far as you like.
Anyone could pick up henna.
Ubu Hour presents a lurid tale based on a classic pulp novel from the late 50s, Hitchhike Hussy.
This is how it begins. You were running along the middle of the highway, barefoot, and wearing only a trench coat. You clutch a black purse.
As she runs, she scans the hillside from where she came for any sign of the men. She listens for the distant, steady purr of tires on tar. The hot pavement hits hard the pads of her feet with each pounding step.
They, people who hurt people, that's all you need to know about them. Me, not enough time for that. My only hope, an engine hums the road ahead. The feeble shimmer of headlights against the lowering sun.
She takes a deep breath and holds it to look composed. She hits the thumb in the air, but the car snarls as it speeds by.
Fuck,
she thinks. Resists temptation to flip the finger. Keep moving. The rough tar bites at the soles of her feet.
Another vehicle approaches. A pair of men in an F-150. You show the thumb and offer a flash of upper leg and thigh beneath the trench coat.
They turn and gaze. She almost feels that spark that they will pull over, but no. They whiz past and slowly fade to where another car emerges from back where she came.
Come on, just pull over. Don't make me jump in front of your car to force you off the road, like at the beginning of that movie Kiss Me Deadly. I'm not that desperate. Not yet.
You smile and pump the thumb high. Mask the desperation that squirms at the edges of your eyes and mouth. Third time's a charm.
You want a ride?
Like, yeah.
Hop in.
She walks quickly towards the car. An old sedan. The man is 40-something, slightly overweight. T-shirt and shorts, and old sneakers. Usually that's who stops. A single man. Or sometimes men.
A phrase comes to her mind. Your lucky day. But she can't decide if it applies to her or to the driver as she climbs into the car.
Considering the lack of choices, it could be worse. It could be a lot worse.
He looks at your feet, your legs beneath the coat, and then at your face. You smile. He puts the car into gear and pulls back onto the highway.
What happened to your shoes?
Sometimes one must leave things behind to move ahead.
What are you doing?
I'll explain to you later. Keep driving. Those men up ahead. Don't look at them. Don't slow down. Just keep driving.
Are you in some kind of trouble?
And don't look at me.
You snap your gaze back to the road. She huddles low in the foot space of the car. Two men are up ahead, one on each side of the road. They look back and forth along the highway and the surrounding terrain. Those guys out there?
Please help me. I'll make it worth your while.
Who are they?
Don't even talk until we're past them.
Grim looks on their faces. They stare at him with hard eyes as he drives closer. Her hand is on his leg, just above the knee. He tries not to look down at her. One of the men steps over the guardrail and down the slope of dry brush on the right side of the highway.
You take a deep breath as your hands tighten on the steering wheel. And then you're past the men and you let the breath out with a sigh. Keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, her finger on your thigh. You got some explaining to do.
Long story. I hitched a ride and it didn't go good. Let me know when they're out of view.
Where are you headed?
Portland.
That's the other way. I just came from there.
Yeah, but the people going that way didn't stop.
I'm only going as far as Allensville.
Never heard of it.
Small town, southeast of here, 60 miles. I grew up there, but I live in Portland now. You can get up now. Your acquaintances are far behind.
Thanks. I owe you a big one. Thank you.
As she pulls herself up from the foot space, you catch a glance of her breast and nipple beneath the open trench coat. She pulls the coat over her thighs and settles back in the seat with a sigh, gripping tight to the black purse.
They drive in silence for a moment. He glances over at her, and she looks back at him. Her eyes are violet and shine with an intensity one might take for madness.
She reaches over and touches your hand on the steering. Her fingertip touches the band on your finger and then draws across the skin up to your knuckle before she withdraws it to her side.
My name is Hannah.
I'm Roy.
Hi, Roy. So what's in Allensville?
Nothing much.
When are you headed back to Portland?
Maybe not until Monday morning, Hannah.
Monday? I'm totally lost on what day it is.
Today is Wednesday.
You notice the band on his finger. Not that that made much of a difference, marriage. In your experience, in your travels across country, using your thumb and your other charms, whether a man was married or not made no difference at all if the wife wasn't with him.
Do you have a wife?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Sandy.
Kids?
No, not yet.
Is she waiting for you in Allensville?
God, no. She's back in Portland. My parents.
Your parents? I don't see anything wrong with your...
My parents, they're in Allensville. You glance at her again, this exotic creature, and then you think about the men at the side of the road and your parents and Sandy. Sandy, who is further away with each mile of pavement that gets devoured beneath the tires.
Thank you again. I owe you big time. You got me out of a bad situation back there.
It would seem so. You want me to let you off at Dreyfus?
No. Your mom and dad, you stay with them in Allensville? Or do you stay in a hotel?
A hotel in Allensville?
I need a place to stay just for tonight.
Not really any place like that in Allensville. There's a motel outside Elmwood. I could let you off there.
No, I don't want to go there.
Then where do you want me to let you off?
Not Allensville, not Dreyfus. I need a place to crash, just for the night. Make it worth your while.
I can't do that. My mother and it wouldn't look right.
Please, I need your help.
Get your hand away. I told you I was married.
I didn't mean anything. Listen, Roy, I can pay you. I have money.
You have money?
$200, just for tonight?
I don't know. My parents are kind of weird, and...
I can even throw a little bit of... You do coke?
Coke? You mean cocaine? No.
I don't either, but someone gave me some. Please, I have nowhere else to go. No one to turn to. Just for tonight?
Maybe we can figure something out, as long as there's no hanky-panky.
No, of course not.
Where are you coming from?
Boston, using only my thumb.
You hitchhike all the way from Boston?
Uh-huh. And a long, strange trip it's been. And?
You travel all this way with just that purse? Not even a backpack?
She glances down at the purse. Black faux leather, zippered shut and bulging.
I pack light. Actually, I had to leave the other stuff behind in a hurry.
So what's the story back there? Those guys?
Nothing much. They took me up to a shack up there on the hill. Three guys.
Yeah?
I wasn't into that scene, so I split.
Jeez. People like that. Sick men.
Good thing you came along when you did.
By the time you reach the old house, night has almost set in. The stars in the sky are more exposed out here, away from civilization. The lights in the house are on, the blue glow of a TV, where your mother and father watch Christian programming.
There you are. We were getting worried. You want something to eat?
Maybe later.
You got more stuff to bring in? Maybe we'll get your dad to help with it. Make himself useful for once.
No, this is most of it. You don't have to do anything.
Where's Sandy? Did she come with you?
No, she couldn't get the time off.
Then you'll stay in your own room?
If Bob's not here, I was thinking of staying in his room.
Out there? Above the garage?
In case I have trouble sleeping and want to watch a movie or something. Then I won't keep you awake.
If you wish, dear. It can get awfully hot up there. No air conditioning. Have you been having sleep problems?
Otherwise, things will not change. So I'm very, very...
Half an hour later, he pulls himself away and returns to the car.
Shh! I'll sneak you around back. This way.
He leads her through darkness around the side of the garage, to some steps up to a half-finished room above the garage. Metallica and Motorhead posters are on the wall, DVDs of horror films and thrillers.
This is your room?
No, my older brother stays here. You take the mattress, I'll sleep on the pad over there.
He points to the camping pad laid out in the far corner.
You remember the last time you stayed here with your wife Sandy? You tell yourself, despite the furtiveness, you are doing nothing wrong. You are just helping someone out. They are paying you money, nothing more. I found you some old clothes from my sister's room.
Thank you.
Sorry they're not.
They're fine.
She's got so many clothes, she'll never notice they're gone.
Many hours later, she stirs awake. You look away.
You're not asleep?
No.
Me neither. What time is it?
2 a.m.
Why don't you come here? This bed, big enough for both of us, more comfortable than that pad.
I shouldn't. No hanky-panky.
I know what helps me sleep.
What's that?
If you don't want to come over here and help me out...
I told you I'm a married man.
We don't have to make anything more out of it than what it is. Come here, Roy.
Then it's dawn. You are alone in the bed. You rub your eyes and wonder if last night was a dream.
Morning, Roy.
Morning, Mom.
There is a strange van across the way.
A van?
Yes, it's been there all morning. Can you see it?
I'm sure it's nothing.
Well, I just hope you're not in some kind of trouble. Is there anything wrong, Roy? Is there anything you're not telling us?
No, Mother. Nothing wrong.
Well, you look like something is bothering you.
No, not at all.
Is it Sandy? Why doesn't Sandy come and visit anymore?
Half an hour later, he stumbles back to the room above the garage with a large cup of coffee.
You think about the van. You think about waking up and finding the girl gone. You think about her in the bed and being inside her. You think about the men at the side of the highway with grim faces. A conflicting battle of joy and fear.
The door to the room is ajar.
She's back!
He thinks as he strides into the room.
Where is she?
Who are you and what are you doing here?
I'm asking the questions. Where is she? Don't deny it.
The man points to the condom wrapper on the floor. The rest of the room has been torn up. The other man remains silent as he sits in the chair.
You are very scared. At the same time, you think at least your mother won't find the condom wrapper. Would that be even worse than the men finding it?
The girl you picked up on the highway last night. Do you know where she is?
No, she was here last night. She slipped out when I was asleep.
You know where she might have headed?
Portland, she told me.
Portland, she told you?
I don't know anything what this is about. I don't know anything about her.
You enjoy fucking her?
What?
You heard me? Didn't you do any blow with her?
He doesn't know a fucking thing, fucking punk. Give him a card and let's get out of here.
Here's the card.
You hear anything from her, you remember something or see her again, you call me. We'll make it worth your while, and you don't call, and we find out, we make you wish you had.
The men are gone. You don't think you'll see her again. And if you did run into her, several days later, on your way back to Portland, you look for her at the sides of the road, even as you know in your heart she has vanished from your life forever, like a strange dream.
About to pull onto I-84. A woman is at the side of the road, thumb in the air.
It can't be her,
he thinks, but then he pulls over.
Thanks for stopping. You going all the way to Portland?
Sure thing. All the way, get in.
Thanks. What's that?
Her face loses color for a moment as she looks at him.
Almost 2 years ago. Do you remember?
Yes, I do remember.
She settles back in the seat. You are not sure if she remembers or if she's saying that. You still owe me $200.
Really? I don't remember that at all. $200?
That's right.
I thought we renegotiated. That night was nice, Roy.
Real nice. And then you left without a goodbye.
But I'm here with you now.
Yes?
Roy, is that why you picked me up? To get your 200?
No, I don't know why I mentioned that.
To be honest, right now I have no money.
No, not money. I did pick you up for another reason.
You want something from me?
That's right.
I thought you were married.
You look at his hand on the steering wheel. The ring is no longer on the finger.
No, that's not it.
What happened? Divorce?
Not quite yet. Long story. You can't even begin to tell her that story. You've barely puzzled it out yourself. The return of the men to search the main house, terrifying your mother and father. The visit from the police. The questions from your wife. The suspicion and incrimination that tore the fabric of your life to shreds.
His life has been in free fall in the last 2 years, and in a funk of despair, he didn't do anything to stop it. But now he had her, the key to the puzzle of his fall.
Let's get something to eat. You hungry? And then we talk.
What can you say? You haven't eaten all day. You smile at him and wonder how far it will go.
And then, she's alone with him in a motel room at the edge of town. A dark edge of menace crawls into his face that she hadn't noticed before, a molten anger that he suppresses.
Ever since that night, my life has been in a downward spiral, and I keep thinking about you and that night.
You want to blame me for all of it?
I guess I can't blame you for everything.
You can't blame me for the way you feel. You can't blame me for your divorce. Is that why you brought me here?
No, not at all, except you lied to me.
It was 2 years ago. I lied with you.
And you lied to me.
What do you mean?
Those men were looking for something. You told me some story like they were trying to rape you.
I don't think I said that. It wasn't that way at all. And I know I didn't say anything like that.
Maybe not that, but you didn't tell me the whole story.
What's there to know? They were after me.
And they were after something else. They ransacked the room searching for something. They came back and searched the whole house, scaring my parents to death.
I told you they were bad people, but that's not my fault.
You didn't tell me what you were messed up with.
I couldn't tell you the whole story. If you knew, you'd have gotten scared and pushed me out of the car.
You didn't tell me later, when we were in bed together, and then you vanished without even leaving a note.
That was 2 years ago, Roy. Can't we get past it?
No, I don't think I can get past it. It's obsessed me for 2 years, and I still can't get past it.
And now we're alone in this room. Do you want to hurt me, or do you want to make love?
I want you to tell me what happened.
Is that a car coming?
Uh-huh. Listen, Hannah, just play along.
Come on, Mac. I thought it was just you, me, and Roberto. I don't fuck strangers.
Maybe you should throw on some clothes and don't say anything about Roberta. Nada, he is not here.
Damn it, Mac. Who's coming here?
You'll see.
Fuck, is that Jonas? Why the fuck is he here?
A deal.
A deal? Why the fuck are you and Roberto dealing with those assholes? I told you that guy was...
Throw on this coat at least. They're almost here. And not a word about Roberto. Just play along. I told you about the deal. $2,000 for you if you play along.
You hinted at a deal, but you didn't say it was him.
$2,000 if you play along. Now throw on this coat. I don't want to give him too much at once.
The dark SUV rumbles to a stop. Jonas climbs out, along with the driver. The driver grabs an attaché case from the back of the vehicle. A woman steps out the far side.
Oh, fuck. Why is she here?
You should just stay in the car, Tricia.
No. Who's that girl up there?
I don't know.
And look at that. She throws on the clothes when she sees I'm with you.
No, that's not it at all. You should get back in the car.
What am I supposed to think, Jonas? That girl parading buck naked up there on the porch, ready to offer it up.
It's not like that at all. I can handle it, Tricia.
Like how you usually fuck things up.
It might be dangerous.
Is she the one? She looks like it. Rough trade.
I told you these people are dangerous.
You're the one who was fucking him.
Shut up.
Hey, Mac! How's it going?
Hi, Jonas.
Hello, Hannah.
You know she is the one. By the way, your husband locks eyes with her, which he can't help doing with a woman he's fucked and wants to fuck again. The little whore gazes at you with a feigned ignorance, and you hate her even more.
What's she doing here?
It doesn't matter. We came here to make a deal.
That's right. You bring the stuff?
3 bags, right here. Show him, Smitty.
The driver opens the attaché case. 3 1-gallon Ziploc baggies, 3 small, fat, white pillows that aren't comfortable beneath the head, but are worth, together, about $60,000.
Bring it inside.
That's fine, as long as she stays out here.
What's the big deal? This is between Jonas and me.
I don't trust her, and it's my money on the line. She stays out here.
Fine, she stays out here.
Mac gives you a shrug. You want to give him the finger back, but you look away, up at the large mountain, and then down below at the dirt path that vanishes into pine trees 1,000 yards away. Down below to the far left, Around the side of the hill, a segment of the two-lane highway is visible.
It was just supposed to be you and me, Jonas.
And the girl out there, was she part of the deal? That's why you kept making excuses for me not to be here.
It's not like that at all, Trisha. I didn't know she would be here.
Let's just do the deal. Let's check out one of the packages.
It's pure, uncut.
Fuck the deal. You are such an asshole, Mac.
Me? What did I do?
Try to calm down, honey. Hand me the package.
You want the fucking package? Here's the fucking package.
It sits on the porch, amid the glitter of broken glass, just beneath the window. She looks around quickly.
What the fuck? Don't throw around the product.
You don't tell me what to do. We don't even know if these clones have the money. Show us the money, Mac.
I've got the money right here. Let me check out the product first.
Smitty, go get the one she threw out the window.
Sure thing.
You're not checking anything out until I see the money.
The driver walks out on the porch and looks around. He eyes you suspiciously. You sit in the plastic deck chair.
Where'd it go?
I don't know. Off the side of the porch, I think, and down there somewhere.
He walks to the edge of the porch and looks over. The ground is 7 feet below. After a moment, he turns back to you with a frown. In his head, he measures the distance from the broken window to the edge of the porch.
5, 6 feet. In her rage, Trisha threw it pretty hard. But over the side?
You sure it dropped over the side?
I think so.
You think so? You don't know?
It happened so fast.
Now he's above her, a big man with big hands and thick, calloused fingers.
Yeah, sometimes things happen fast. Get up.
Listen, Smitty, you don't have to.
I said get up.
He grabs the front of the trench coat and yanks you out of the chair, ripping off the top few buttons. The coat falls open and the breath freezes in his throat.
You want to search me for it? Or is this an excuse to fill me up?
Where'd you put it? If you've been lying to me...
Don't be so rough. You can see I don't have it. Are you done with your groping?
He pulls his hands off of her and steps back. His eyes dart back across the porch to the window, and then back to the chair and to her. The trench coat is open to her navel. For a moment he stares at her breasts, and then he pulls his eyes away.
What's that?
What's what?
Under your chair!
You slowly look down at the chair behind you and the fat purse on the floor beneath it. You look back up at him. You hope the plummeting emotions of fear don't register in your face as you look at him directly in the eyes.
I have no idea.
Smitty, where the fuck are you?
What was the point? The jig was up. He grabs your wrist and squeezes tight as he starts to bend down to grab the handbag, and then...
Don't worry about the money. You'll get your damn money.
I am worried about the money. How do we know you have it? Also, is there someone else here?
No, why would there be anyone else here?
The empty pack of katanes. Is Roberto here?
No, not right now. It was supposed to be Jonas and me.
And the tramp outside. So why are Roberto's cigarettes here?
I don't know. I never cleaned this place up.
We know Roberto's not in the bedroom closet, waiting for my husband to walk in there to fall in a trap.
Come on, Trisha. Mac wouldn't dare.
Offering up the girl as bait. She lures him back there, and... did he tell you the girl would be here, Jonah?
No, I don't even know that girl.
Don't deny it. I saw the way you looked at her. Let's see what's in the bedroom.
He opened a door to the other room, a queen-sized bed with sheets, the blankets in a pile on an armchair, a table, some clothes on the floor, a bottle of lube, and a box of condoms on the dresser.
There's nothing in there. We need to get back to business here.
And you, Mac, pimping your sluts to my husband to throw him off his game. I've really had it with you, and you haven't shown us any cash yet.
Let's just cancel the deal, then. You take your stuff and go home.
Did you hear that? There's someone back there.
Shit! What happened to Smitty?
He's probably out there fucking that Lulai pussy.
You guys, we don't need the guns. Put away that gun, Trisha.
Smitty! Where the fuck are you?
In the closet back there.
You act without thinking. Draw the gun and fire at the closet door. The door opens and Roberto falls out of the closet with a cudgel.
Mac reaches for a gun under the table. Smitty bursts in, grabbing for his weapon inside his coat. Guns bark and buck in hands. Bullets flash and smack into flesh.
Fuck! You stupid bastard. Trisha was right.
I told you we couldn't trust them.
Mac bleeds from the arm and the chest. His gun clatters to the floor beneath the table. The man from the closet, Roberto, is face down in a pool of blood. Jonas is ashen.
You never had the money, did you, Mac?
Please, Jonas. I need a hospital. We weren't going to hurt you.
Robbing me is hurting me, Mac.
Please. No, please don't do that. I'll make it up to you. I'm sorry. Please, Jonas.
Sorry, Mac.
He puts the barrel to Mac's forehead and pulls the trigger. Mac slams back against the wall that's now splattered with his brain tissue and skull shards, like a halo behind his head. Then he falls over. Jonas stuffs his gun back into the side holster.
Well then, let's get our things and get out of here.
Smitty, did you get the other package?
No, shit!
They run to the door. Down below, the girl races frantically. She's almost reached the trees. Smitty draws a bead on her, but she is too far away for the handgun.
Shoot, damn it! Stop her!
No. Out here, the sound will echo too much. Bad enough, all the gunshots inside.
She's out of range anyway.
Go after her! Both of you! I'll call Walker for backup. We need to get that package back and we need to silence her permanently.
As you reach the trees, you shoot a glance behind you. Smitty and Jonas leap off the porch in pursuit, and then you keep running. You run as hard as you can, whipping past brambles. You clutch the purse tight. Your breasts bounce beneath the trench coat at every step. The grit of the trail brings pinpricks of pain to the bottoms of your naked feet. Somewhere down below is the highway.
You have just listened to the Ubu Radio Theater presentation of Hitchhike Hussy. This audio drama was inspired by the 1959 novel of the same name by John P. Thompson and Jack Woodford.
And also by the beginning of the 1955 film Kiss Me Deadly.
Hitchhike Hussy was produced and written by Rolf Semperbone and performed by...
McCray Bogdanov.
Rolf.
Larry.
Ralph Meeker.
Patrick Bocard.
Becky Myers.
Virginia.
Galen.
What is it, babe? Shit. What?
You've seen the changes everywhere.
What is it, babe? What is it, babe?
You've seen the changes everywhere.
What is it, babe?
You've seen the changes everywhere.
What is it, babe?
You've seen the changes everywhere.
What is it, babe?
You've seen the changes everywhere.
What is it, babe?
You've seen the changes everywhere.
What is it, babe?
I've got something to show you.
You've seen the changes everywhere.
What is it, babe?
I've got something to show you.
You've seen the changes everywhere.
What is it, babe?
I've got something to show you.
You've seen the changes everywhere.
What is it, babe?
I've got something to show you.
What is it, babe?
We don't have very much time.
Yes, we do.
What is it, babe?
I've got something to show you.
What is it, babe?
We don't have very much time.
Yes, we do.
What is it, babe?
You've seen the changes everywhere.
What is it, babe?
We don't have very much time.
Yes, we do. Push me.
We don't have very much time.
Yes, we do. Push me.
We don't have very much time.
Yes, we do. Push me.
We don't have very much time.
Yes, we do. Push me.
We don't have very much time.
Yes, we do. Push me.
We don't have very much time.
Yes, we do. Push me.
We don't have very much time.
Yes, we do. Push me.
We don't have very much time.
Yes, we do.
God.
Listen, I have a reputation. I know you don't care about that, but it means something to me.
We don't have very much time.
Rather have the blue.
Yes, we do.
No. Rather have
what's this all about?
Anna. I'm sorry.
You say that word so often it has no meaning.
I'd rather have the blue.
Fuck.
Rather have the blue.
What's this all about?
Rather have the blue.
Three on one.
I'd rather have the blue.
Two loaded.
Rather have the blue.
Money was for your daughter.
Thumb isn't good enough for you. You've got to use your whole body.
Money was for your daughter. Money was for your daughter.
You always go around with no clothes on?
What did she need it for?
Somebody put her on the boat.
You always go around with no clothes on?
Why a boat? Can't you just drive from...
Do you think I could ever love someone as deceitful as you?
You always go around with no clothes on?
Oh, fuck you. This was not the deal. Now you're gonna go and find someone and fuck around on me.
Stop us.
Did you tell
and
her who I was?
And he's chewing on it.
A little surprise.
Come on up.
Here's... Did you?
No.
Call that buddy.
Got there.
A little surprise.
He wants me to...
Notes.
I thought you'd want me to check up on him.
Here's...
This is crazy. I don't understand. I'm your best friend.
Right there.
It's a little surprise.
Come on up.
I've got something to show you.
Here's...
This is crazy.
Right there.
A little surprise.
Come on up.
I've got something to show you.
Here's...
This is crazy. I don't understand. I'm your best
friend. What you got there?
It's a little surprise.
Come on up.
I've got something to show you.
Remember me?
Yeah. I remember you from somewhere. Weren't you supposed to call that fellow Mr. What's his name?
Friendly? Mr. Friendly. He certainly was friendly.
Maybe he'll give you some of that nice dialogue again. That honey talk. That tape sure was nice.
Okay, what are you doing in your private life?
303 just called for housekeeping.
They had a do not disturb on.
Welcome to
that
Shelby's.
Tape sure was nice.
Hey, what are you doing in your private life? It's your private. Do me a favor, will you? Keep away from the windows. Somebody might blow you a kiss.
We just counted it.
What's the big idea? Who do you think you are?
Make it sound good.
Hey! You.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Please tell me. You're not giving it to me?
I'm giving it to you, but I have to go with you.
Sandra, I don't know.
That wasn't the deal.
Vince does have to sign
it. There's no deal.
Wait, I worked here.
There's no deal. I'm giving you my money.
No, you want it.
I don't work weekends.
It is therefore impossible for you to see me every...
And you're going to protect me, like you did in bar.
What's the big idea? Who do you think you are?
Make it sound good.
You shouldn't be going alone.
Wish me luck.
You can't drive through here.
Watch me. Hello,
Christ.
Sandra, I don't know. Watch out. Over a thousand times myself. The world's gone crazy.
What's the big idea? Who do you think you are?
Make it sound good.
Not that I know of.
Please tell me, how could something like this happen?
Sandra, I don't know. Over a thousand times myself. The world's gone crazy.
Hi.
What's the big idea? Who do you think you are?
Make it sound good.
Why don't you print out two copies? That would make sense. That would be what a normal person would do.
Sorry.
You can't use this place for one copy. It was the same story yesterday.
Please
sorry.
Tell
Girl.
Me.
Sorry.
Sorry about that. How could something like
Anna,
this
can you stay late?
Sandra, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I've gone over a thousand times myself.
Hello?
One copy.
Yes, the world's gone crazy.
What's he like?
What would do this to you?
I know. Something like this happened.
I know. Sandra, I don't know.
Yes, come. I'll be there.
Over a thousand times myself.
I always was like that.
We're going crazy.
I'm trying to leave now because I'm talking to you.
What?
What's the big idea? Who do you think you are?
Make it sound good.
What's he like? I can be a very good friend.
Please, me.
Please.
So,
Sandra, I don't know.
Close
friend. Over a thousand times myself.
And no matter what it is, the answer is yes.
Love's gone crazy.
Maybe.
Love's gone crazy.
Who the fuck would do this to you?
What's the big idea? Who do you think you are?
Make it sound good.
Love's gone crazy.
I've got something to show you.
Me
out?
Huh?
Push me.
What?
Hello?
We don't have very much time.
What's he like?
Yes, we do.
How could something like this happen?
Sandra, I don't know. I've run over a thousand times myself. Love's gone crazy.
You'd be a very good friend. I've got something to show you. You'll be my friend.
Love's gone crazy.
Push me.
We don't have very much time.
Close.
Yes, we do.
Ask me something.
No matter what it is, the answer is yes.
Maybe.
Love's gone crazy.
First you find a little thread. The little thread leads you to a string. The string leads you
who
to
who the fuck would do this to you?
Rope. And from the rope you hang either neck. What kind of a girl was she?
Meow.
Friend with you.
Huh?
Christina.
What?
I've got something to show you. Push me.
We don't have very much time.
Yes, we do.
Baby, I'm everything you touch turns to shit!
I've got something
to show you. Crazy.
King Midas, idiot brother.
Push me.
We don't have very much time.
Yes,
we
do.
Please.
No,
this
doctor,
is the last call for train 32.
I've got something to show you.
Whatever, Diane.
Yes.
Push me.
And you'll pay for it?
Yes.
We don't have very much time. Love's gone crazy.
This is the last call for train 32 departing to Montreal in 4 minutes.
Bon anniversaire!
We don't have very much time.
Yes, we do.
You have 0 minutes of air remaining. Carbon dioxide levels at maximum. Please get to an airlock or life pod immediately.
Fuck, Bart! Fuck, Bart! What the fuck, dude? Bart? Bart? Oh, Jesus. Fuck, Bart! Fuck, Bart! What the fuck, dude? Bart? Bart? Oh, Jesus. Fuck, Bart! Fuck, Bart! What the fuck, dude? Bart? Oh, Jesus. Fuck, Bart! Fuck, Bart! What the fuck, dude? Bart? Bart? Oh, Jesus. Fuck, Bart! Bart, what the fuck, dude? Bart? Bart? Oh, Jesus.
What the fuck is happening?
Fuck, Bart! Fuck, Bart, what the fuck, dude? Bart? Bart? Oh, Jesus.
What the fuck is happening?
Fuck, Bart!
This has been the Ubu Radio Hour. Wait. This has been the Ubu Radio Theater Hour, coming at you every first Monday at 11 p.m. here on KBOO Portland.
We won't be back until next month, but have no fear, because there's radio theater every Monday night.
With awesome shows like Goblin Time, Sudden Theater, and Human Sub-Intellect Theater.
And if you want to listen to this program again, or other... Why am I lost? Like, okay, let me try it.
Or other Ubu Hour shows.
Okay. And if you want to listen to this program again or other Ubu Hour shows, you can podcast us on the web.
go to kboo.fm and look for Ubu, spelled U-B-U.
And we'll see you next month when the Ubu Hour brings you the thrilling audio drama.
What title?
Nice.
All right, so that's it. Good job. Great.
Bring on the princesses.
Thank you, girl, for enlightening
yeah,
this.
Yeah, that's great.
I love that.
You have 0 minutes of air remaining. Carbon dioxide levels at maximum. Please get to an airlock or life pod immediately. You have 0 minutes of air remaining.
KVU Community Radio is proud to present Who is Gil Scott-Heron as part of the We Real Cool Jazz Series at the Clinton Street Theater Thursday, September 17th at 7 p.m. Who is Gil Scott-Heron is a portrait seen through the eyes of those who loved Gil, his friends, his family, and the musicians he played with. All attending the theatrical screenings receive a download of Scott-Heron's last record, Nothing New. Again, that's Who is Gil Scott-Heron, Thursday, September 17th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Rockets and moonshots.
The Tiki Cha-Cha Club.